Tonight, we're continuing on our service and just on the Happily Ever After series. One disclaimer, I realize that there are single people in the room and we're doing a talk on marriage. Let me just simply say that, not apologize for our talk tonight, but simply say that healthy people make up healthy marriages. So if you're not married here tonight, I don't want this in any way exclude you, because really it doesn't exclude you. There are always principles that you can take away about how to be a healthy person, how to have healthy communication skills and coping skills and all different kinds of things that you can listen. I've already heard from many of you, especially those that are single and some that are hopefully going to get engaged soon. Thanks, you can pay me later. You know who you are. If you know that you've been benefiting from this, so we're excited about this. But I would like you to put your hands together, and we'll do some introductions later. But for the Spains and the Drakes, why don't you welcome them as they come to the stage for our panel discussion tonight? All right. Don't they look good? Yeah, that sounded like a granddaughter. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this tonight. And this is, those microphones are on. This is so much fun for us to hear from some people, especially in marriage, that are, shall we say, seasoned. Is that a good one? Is that a good term? We'll say seasoned. And, well, the first thing I'd like to do is just kind of go down the panel and have you introduce yourselves. And also maybe, how about you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your family. If you have children, you can say that. Whatever you'd like to share with us personally about yourself. So we'll start with you, David.
I'm David Drake, and I'm very fortunate to have been brought up in an Assemblies of God minister's home, but the Lord has been awfully good to me, and I taught at Central Bible College for a good number of years, and I'm retired now. We teach a Bible study class at Maranatha every Tuesday morning. We have 40 to 50 people there, and it's just a delightful time to serve the Lord. We try to stay active in other ministries too.
Well, thinking about the single people out here, I was a single person for many years and was actually a single parent for 20 years after I lost my first husband in Ghana, West Africa at the age of 26. Mm. We had been on the field just 6 weeks when he was killed in an accident. And so I can identify with the singles as well. Stayed alone for 20 years with my daughter and then remarried and lived with Myron Clopine for 22 years. We had a wonderful marriage. He passed away with cancer. And then David and I were married on Valentine's Day of 2007. So it's been a strange life that I've walked, but it's been a wonderful life. And God has been there at every nook and cranny, wow, every turn. And I'm so grateful for that. I had the privilege of serving at headquarters for about 13 years as director of women's ministries, and then I started the National Prayer Center and directed that for 4 years. And then when I retired in 92 wow, from chaplaincy, or 94, I became a chaplain, from headquarters. I was commissioned as a chaplain and served 5 secular radio stations at Clear Channel Radio for several years, and also as a chaplain at Maranatha Village. So it's been a great time. David and I are having a great time. We're as happy as if we had good sense.
It's great to have you guys here.
Lady, we were in...
you can keep that one over there. We've got one right here.
It's fine.
We were together in Tanzania as missionaries, so we can tell you a lot about each other. I'm Joy Spain, and I don't know, I have a lot to say. But I grew up in a pastor's home as well. I was greatly blessed to have a wonderful family. And I met my husband when my father was pastoring his home church. And we were married. We pastored. And then we were in Africa for, many, many years. And we are a long way down the trail in our marriage. And we're still together, praise the Lord. We had 3 children. granddaughter out here somewhere who said Hoopi, and Kirk, our son, is the administrator at Africa's Hope. He's in Kenya right now in a big conference, and our youngest daughter is married to Nathan, who is a World Bank employee in New Delhi, India. We're going to go visit them this next Monday, use some air miles. Carrie, our oldest, lives here. She's a teacher at OTC and in Washington, D.C. right now for a conference for that. Her husband is the president of one of the banks in the city. And we have grandchildren. We're just so blessed to have them just a few doors away from us after being 10,000 miles away for so long.
I'm Jerry Spain, and I was born and raised in Valentine, Nebraska, up in the Sand Hills. Anybody here from Nebraska? Oh, I can see Kirk.
Couple of people,
right here.
Yeah.
He's also from a very big city called Pender. I'm so blessed of God. My mom came to know the Lord in a little AG church when I was 3 years old, so I was raised in an AG church. I've been a part of this fellowship for a long time. But when I was in the seventh grade, there was a pastoral change, and a new pastor came. Joy's already given that away. It happened to be her father and mother. And we met each other in the seventh grade.
Wow.
For me, I can say it was love at first sight in the seventh grade. I'm not sure she
knew
that.
Yeah, what about?
We were in the same class and graduated from Valentine High School. And Joy was even selected to be the senior class speaker when we graduated. I mentioned on Facebook, if any of you are my friends on Facebook, that 55 years ago on the 14th of February, I witnessed the coronation of a king and queen in Valentine, Nebraska. True story, Joy was the queen. And so, you know, as a good friend of mine, Morris Plotz used to say, I was born ugly and had a relapse. And for a hayseed out of the sand hills of Nebraska, God has blessed me and given me a wonderful wife. We've been married for 52 years now.
Wow.
And Joy has just mentioned that God has blessed us with a wonderful family. And I'm deeply grateful. She's gone with me every step of the way, all the way to East Africa, and now we continue to be volunteers. And so enough to tell a little bit about who we are, Pastor.
Well, it is an honor to have all of you here tonight. And I, to be honest, I had no idea your ties, both of you guys, back to Africa. So this was quite... this is quite the experience. So thank you so much.
Three of us made up about three quarters... or about at least the majority of the faculty of a Bible college at one time.
Wow. Well, that's great. Well, we are your friends, and we just want to learn tonight maybe some things that could help us in our marriages. And, of course, David and Sandy, you guys have a very unique marriage right now that really can shed some light, especially in light of both of your histories. And so we thank God that both of you are going to be able to help us tonight. So what I'd like to do is start by just simply asking it's somewhat of a lighthearted question, but yet I think it's important that we hear from other seasoned people about what they do for fun. So what do you guys like to do for fun as a couple?
Well, we won't tell all.
Please, please don't.
Well, we like to eat out. We like to take a lot of impromptu trips. We just all of a sudden say, hey, let's go down to Branson. Let's go here, there. We sort of hang loose in that way now that we're both retired, and we can do that. We love to go to basketball games. Last week was a really busy week with that.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
we right. root for them all. I have a son who's a professor at Evangel, so we have ties there, and I taught at CBC for many years, so I have ties there. So when there's a ball game, we certainly try to be loyal to those. We love to go out to the mall and shop and walk, especially when the weather was so cold.
Any mall walkers here? Yeah, a couple. Don't be ashamed.
We walk outside quite a bit, but when we, in the winter time, why, it's 1 mile all the way around the circumference. I have a health beat.
I told him that the microphones tonight were going to be a demonstration of their
cohesiveness. You've heard of roving mics before. Well, that's part of it. We go out there, four couples of us that eat together quite often in the homes and also out at restaurants. For fun, we do a lot of that. We join a rook club and play rook. No gambling allowed or anything. It's just perfectly good. We always end up with a prayer meeting afterwards, so that that takes care of it.
That makes it holy,
doesn't it? Oh, yes, that covers a multitude of words. So we just have a lot of fun, sometimes in an inexpensive way, and once in a while it costs a little more. When you have a wife, it usually costs more, but they're worth it anyway.
And you're learning.
Yes. Fortunately, Sandy, being a missionary, was in the ranks of being poor. I didn't say she was a poor missionary, but she didn't have a big spending spree, and so I have great confidence when she goes shopping. Why, I say, go get it, and she's all right. So we have a lot of fun and love each other, and we tell each other all the time, too.
Yeah.
So don't ever be afraid. If you're married, watch when you're not married. But if you're married, don't ever be afraid to tell your spouse you love them and show it.
That's right.
We probably do 20 times a day at least.
Wow.
And that's one thing I really appreciate about David. We do have a lot of fun. And like he said, the games we play, rook and different things like that. We used to, when we were dating, we did a lot of watching old movies like I Love Lucy and those kinds of things. And we had a favorite program called Deal or No Deal. And so after we had been watching this for about a year together, one night he said to me, well, I think it's about time to know. Is it a deal or no deal?
Oh, okay.
And then on the program, they always say, well, we'll be back and find out right after the announcement. So I said, I'd like to know in the morning.
Okay.
What I want to know is, did it reach it to the $1 million price?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In value, yes.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't cost that much yet, but it's coming.
All right, Joy, what do we do for fun?
Well, I just wanted to comment on David Drake. He was at CBI when Jerry and I were there. Of course, he was a very young professor.
He was just ahead of us.
Such a prim and proper, and then to be with him now, we're relaxed now, we're older, but he is he's a barrel of monkeys. He just has a humor that would just make you laugh all the time, and that's important in a marriage as well. What do we do? You like to go to ball games. No, we do a lot of things together, as David and Sandy were talking about. We have family around, as I mentioned earlier, and that is such a tremendous blessing. We try to plan all we can around their lives, is when their sports and their other activities allow the teenagers and everyone else with their travel schedules. But the Lord has blessed us, and we just rejoice.
We have a lot of fun related to going outdoors. We have a camper. We like to go down to the lake and spend some time together and with the family. A lot of our fun revolves around family since we have two of our children and their spouses and grandchildren here, and Keely can be a witness to that. And then while we're different, and she doesn't really care too much about sports, and she knows that I'm a sports fanatic, we try to compensate. We've had to, in marriage, you have to learn how to come to that compensation thing. And I know when she wants to go to the mall, and the only time I like to walk the mall is when I'm going to do it for her. That's all.
There you go.
Otherwise, I like to get outdoors. Yeah.
Actually, when if my children are involved in the sports, I'm right there yelling and screaming.
There you go.
And she's been a marvelous a wife in adapting to those kind of things. She doesn't really care about being outdoors in a tent, but we used to do that in Africa for the sake of the family. And and that's all part of the marriage thing, is to learn what you call this means of compromise and finding what your partner needs and what you need, and then that you try to find a way to satisfy both.
Right. I'm sure it didn't originate with our friend that we have, most of us have, Jim Bradford and I. We've run occasionally together, me, Jim, and Jerry, and I've heard Jim call him Spider on a number of occasions because of his long strides that he has. But you should know that in the city of Springfield, in Jerry's age bracket, he owns the 5K record here in Springfield. You should know this. This man is one in-shape character. I mean, this guy, like 8-minute mile kind of thing, like just blow you away long distances. It's just great. So, and I know that health is kind of been a big thing for you.
Keely's here somewhere. She's just made a commitment to run a half marathon with me. So,
Training.
We're training for it.
Half marathon. How old are you, Jerry?
I'm 72.
72 half marathon. That's what I'm talking about. Wow. Okay. Well. Well. Let's get down to some of the nuts and bolts of marriage. What are some practices that you've had in marriage that you would say have kept you strong, kept you in love with each other, gotten you through some difficult situations? If you had to distill maybe a couple of principles, maybe their functions, whatever it may be, what are some practices that you have that you've carried with you throughout the course of marriage?
I think what comes to my mind first of all is devotional time together, reading the word together and praying together. I think that is one of the strongest points. And another thing is just respect for one another. I'm so grateful that I am married to a man I highly respect, and he shows such respect for me. And I think that those are things that you can't just buy anywhere. It's something that's just a wonderful built-in value. But that intimacy with the Lord and knowing that he is the one that is guiding everything you do and you look to him daily, I think that's a very strong point.
Sandy, can you explain just a little bit as far as devotional time? You've got personal devotional time, then you have devotional time together.
Right.
And how does that look in your relationship?
Well, we do our devotional time together right after breakfast.
Every day?
Every day. Unless, if we're eating out, sometimes it's delayed a little bit.
Okay.
But it's nearly every day. We do pray before we eat, yes.
That's good.
But we do that together right after breakfast, and then...
You're saying that doesn't count as a devotional too, right? Okay, good. I picked that up. I got it.
Right. And then have our own personal devotional time. I have a little nook in my bedroom, which is my quiet corner. Our bedroom, yes. My nook in our bedroom, that's right.
I don't want them to misunderstand.
But... I just learned so many years ago that that building that relationship with the Lord is, when I walked alone for 20 years in widowhood and had a child depending on me, I learned to depend on the Lord. And I learned that I had to have an intimate relationship with him daily. And I've continued that practice because there's nothing that can take the place of that.
Very good.
I think one thing you have to recognize, too, in a marriage particularly, there are two people. It isn't one person who dominates or rules or controls. There's compromise. There's working together. That's where the real happiness comes, by sharing. Sandy and I are two different individuals. She likes to do some things. I don't take any disinterest in them, but some of them are ladies' things, women's things, and so on. I think one of the things that's very nice is that we give each other free time. Mm-hmm. If I want to go out for coffee with some of the fellows, go with them. I don't have to get permission. I tell her I'm going, usually. but I don't have to beg or plead. If she wants to go out with the ladies, fine. That's great. If she wants to go shopping at the mall, now, I don't mind starting out with that, but by about the third rack of dresses, let her go. There may be 20 more, but I'll go walk down to Sears, look at the tools and things like that. But I think if you're going to be happy, you have to give each other some breathing room and not be controlling. And so God has helped us. It comes quite naturally. It isn't anything we have to work at too hard. But we both trust each other.
Yeah.
And that's a very important thing. I told you we have the Bible study at Maranatha. And there are a number of elderly ladies there, for example. And there are some of them, they want a hug. Sandy never gets jealous. I don't give her any reason to at all. But I can talk with them. Some of them, they won't sit down until they get their hug, and that's fine. And I enjoy it, but it's not a romantic kind of thing with me. I do make sure of that. But nevertheless, I think that freedom of letting a person be themselves. Sandy's had a lot of ministry over the years, and one thing I have determined, I do not want in any way to interfere with her ministry. If she wants to preach, we usually, I don't want to take too much time, but we usually have one Sunday night a month preaching at Maranatha Chapel. So it was assigned to me first, I think. I don't know what came first, but it was assigned to me. And we decided with her preaching ministry, she takes it 1 month and I take it the next month.
That's
so that
great.
It gives us both opportunity to preach, to minister, to enjoy the ministry that we believe God has given to us.
Yeah.
In the Bible study, I've been the leader of that now for 5 years, but I bring Sandy in. And she gives prayer requests and leads in prayer and keeps up with people who need prayer. And so we work it as a team effort. And it's just a joy when husband and wife enjoy doing the work of the Lord or living with the Lord's blessing on our lives, whether it's in pastoral work or teaching or what it is, to be together in it all the time for the Lord's sake.
Yeah,
I serve as a chaplain for the Evangel University Auxiliary, and so I have opportunity once a month to minister there in the auxiliary meetings. I help Ann Spence with her prayer meetings on Tuesdays at Evangel, and I'm on the Maranatha Board of Directors. So there were, like David says, he has things he does, and I have things I do, and yet we kind of do it together even though we're separated, and it's a wonderful time.
Yeah. That freedom, that's a great point,
that's freedom
for each one to
have
their own life, so to
sure.
speak. But it's not separate, it's just that freedom.
I've
heard someone say that every relationship needs that oxygen of freedom for it to survive.
That's true.
But if you squeeze it out, you can suffocate it.
Right.
You know, you can suffocate the relationship.
Yeah.
Jerry, Joy, how about you guys? Practices.
Well, ministry through the years in Africa was in Bible school, Bible college ministry. Jerry was the principal in Africa, at least in Kenya. In Tanzania, there's one president, and that's the president of the country. So you weren't termed the president of the Bible college. And I was always in the business office taking care of those nuts and bolts, which gets to be a challenge, of course, and ministering. And meeting the students, it was a wonderful opportunity to get personally involved with them. The only difficult time would be when they would come and maybe might not have their school fees that were required. We are an indigenous principal institution, the Assemblies of God, from the very beginning of missionary life. We believe that the church can grow to be strong enough to be self-supporting, and so churches would help sometimes the students. And sometimes they would come and, oh, Mama, they would say, I don't have all my fees. And I couldn't just say, well, that's all right, then I go on through and register. I would pray with them and invite them to share with me and They would be so thrilled when they could come back with their full fees. It was a joyful experience, but sometimes there were trials and tribulations. And through the many, many years in Bible college ministry, we grew along with the students, and the Lord was very, very much evident in that, too.
I agree with all of this, Mike, to your question about marriage and in its secrets. As I was prayerfully considering that subject, a strong word came to me, and that's the word promise. A promise to God and a promise that we made on August the 22nd, 1958. And I'm reminded of that even during every difficulty.
Wow.
That you make that commitment. Now, I don't think I'm telling you anything that you haven't heard today. I thought today's announcement on the television that our federal government no longer will defend the traditional view of marriage between man and wife tells me that this culture of ours is in serious trouble. And I emphasize that I've got a promise to keep to God and to this lady right here, and I want that to last as long as we're alive and beyond, whatever that means.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Right.
And if it means that I die tomorrow and she marries somebody else, it's still the fact that there's been a promise to keep until death.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's so
that's
good.
That's extremely important within the context of today's culture.
You're right. You're right. That's so good. Now, of course, in any marriage, you're going to have conflict. And so to get to sometimes the core of what makes a relationship work, we need to talk about how a couple resolves conflict. So I just would like to ask, do you still, as mature and seasoned as you are, do you still have arguments? And if so, how do you resolve? If so,
no.
Do you resolve conflict? How do you resolve it?
Difference of opinion.
Okay. Okay. Sandy, David?
What do you want me to tell you? Oh, we have no serious arguments. We had one on the way here.
Okay. Appreciate
every
that
time
honesty.
I get to an intersection where I need to see if there are cars coming, down comes the visor so she can powder her nose just before.
Not every time.
Well, almost. It has happened on numerous occasions.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, it's a lot better to lose the battle than the war. And these little things that come up don't amount to a hill of beans
you said
when it comes
right.
to it.
Wow.
You have to think of the big picture. And, of course, Sandy's discovered I'm not perfect. It may have taken her a little bit, and maybe not so long. We've never checked that one out. And I've discovered she's not quite perfect. But, you know, it's like the fellow who was looking for the perfect wife, and he finally found her. But the only trouble was she was looking for the perfect husband.
Oh.
And so it didn't work.
Oh.
You just have to bring those things together. And I don't think we have any real arguments. We were laughing the other day when we had differences of opinion. I like that expression. shortly after we were married. See, I was married for 56 years to a wonderful lady. God gave her to me. And I have no regrets whatever. I did everything I could to support and show my love for her until the day she died.
That's it.
And you never get over those entire. But God brought Sandy into my life, and life goes on, and so you move with it. But I have no regrets, and Sandy and I, we really don't even have to apologize to each other very often, do we? You better say no, because
you wait till you get home.
Oh man,
you wait.
You made me saying it tonight. Anyway,
they kid me out at Marinella, our coffee house group there, and every time I say something, boy, you're going to have to wash windows when you get home this time. But so far, that well, we work together. And it's just a great life, and I thank God every day for the way He has led me and has led Sandy and me in these. We got married on Valentine's Day. How about that? Yeah. 4 years ago.
Come on.
And we're,
awesome.
We're enjoying it to the hilt. Now, what else you want to know?
Oh, we're doing good here.
Sometimes when we've had a, you know, if it's been a real big difference of opinion and we can't quite see eye to eye on it, we found the best thing to do is just kind of walk away from it at that point and not make a big issue out of it. And it eventually works itself out.
Yeah, that's good.
Let her be first.
Okay, there you go.
I'm frightened.
Point number one, okay.
She's already admitted that we can have differences of opinion. My family has a joke about the fact that a few years ago they knew that at times I wasn't listening very well, especially to my wife.
Selective hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I invested in hearing aids.
Oh, okay.
And I still don't hear. But. I know that she has a different personality. I have, and as it's been said here, I have a. I like the quote that Ruth Bell Graham had about their relationship, Billy Graham and his wife. When they were asked, "Do you ever have differences?" or probably in a way, "Do you ever have an argument?" and she said, "Well, you know, if God would have wanted to just created one, He would have created one, but He created two of us, and we're two different individuals, and we have two different opinions, and there are things that we disagree about. But the important thing is." And I don't know that she said this, but I've had a biblical principle that I've really tried to follow. And there's a biblical instruction, and that is that if you get angry, and anger in itself is not wrong. You know, that's not wrong. The Bible will tell you that. But don't let the sun go down on your anger. Mm. That's a biblical principle. Mm-hmm. And I have had to practice the art of saying, please forgive me. And I want to do it before we go to bed. You know, I want to make sure that not another day goes by.
Right.
But I've got this loud voice, and at times I raise a voice. I know that. She will admit it. And I have to say, I'm sorry I raised my voice about that issue. You know, I get so wrapped up in it and intense. But be sure that you settle it and then move on. Move on, and maybe the next day you'll even have a more passionate kiss because you've made up.
That's very, very good.
And if you don't settle those things quickly, they have a tendency to build, and it gets more difficult the longer it goes on. Just Jerry said it right. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath.
That's it.
You know, just listening to both of you, I can't help but to draw out some things that it's almost like you're illustrating. And we've talked about them in here before, but we talk about how marriage is sometimes... you can picture it as like building blocks. So you have a foundation and it's building blocks. And one of the foundational principles of any healthy relationship is security, safety. And then on top of that, you know, you have an openness or a trust there. There's an openness, a freedom to give back and forth. And then comes intimacy after that. But you have to have that foundation of safety and security. And I think even when you were talking about promise a few minutes ago, and even now when you're saying that if there is conflict, that you know what, you resolve it by the end of the day. That reaffirms those things that you know what, we are okay. It is this is okay. There is not a fracture here. That was a difference of opinion, and we're moving on. And I don't want to get on that, but that's you're really painting that in a really beautiful illustration. And I think just about you two, about how you're giving that openness, and that is just that demonstration of trust and care of each other. And I just think that's amazing. And you know what? We have a few minutes here, and I'm just curious. I have a couple of questions for you both. And one, first of all, directed to you, Sandy and David. You know, you guys have a unique testimony because your spouses have died. And I would just like to know, and I'm sure other people would too, What got you through that incredible time of your life?
You want to go first? Well, those are difficult times, and I wouldn't for a moment say that I didn't go through difficult times, especially my first husband was lying severely burned for a week before he passed away, and it was right at Christmas time. And, you know, different ones told me, why don't you just go home now? You know, you've come to Africa, and all this has happened, now just go home. And I had to sort it out for myself and realize that I had a calling as well as he did, and we had come here to minister, and so I was able to stay for almost 2 years and do that. But I think one of the things that held me during that time, I remember as a student at Southwestern Assemblies of God College or Bible Institute, Wednesday mornings was missionary prayers, and we'd gather at 7 o'clock in the chapel to pray. And so many times on Wednesday mornings, it was hard to get out of bed and be down there at 7 o'clock to pray. But the thought would come to me, what if someday you're on the mission field and you have a real need? You'll want people to pray. And I can honestly say that I felt buoyed up by the prayers of God's people during those times. And it was the prayers of others and fellowship and all that really walked me through those times.
Thanks.
And then with Myron Clopine, he had cancer for 2 years, and there were a lot of things there that I had to be the caregiver. David had to be caregiver for his wife, too. And yeah. These are tough times, but the Lord just helps us through them. And we try not to rush it, but take it day by day and step by step. One thing I've always told young people and single people, don't let anything or anyone fill a void in your life that only God can fill.
Amen.
And I think that's very crucial.
Amen. David?
And I think one thing that one has to do is communicate with friends, people. We had, for example, when my first wife was living, we had a group that went out every Sunday after church for dinner. There were 8 of us, and they were so supportive. And at first, I sort of thought, I better withdraw from this. You don't want a fifth wheel on this. Oh, yes, we do.
Oh.
You belong. And I think people who keep all of these things to themselves have great, great difficulty in getting through them. But I thank God for Christian friends.
Yes.
Who would pray with us, pray with me, who opened their arms and included me. It was great strength. I can remember yet when after Elsie died and I'd go out to the cemetery, I determined in my heart I would never leave one day, one time there, without thanking God for every day that he did give me. And you can rejoice in that. You can look back on that.
That's right.
When it came to Sandy, we make no comparisons. We don't have any hesitation talking about our former spouses, but we don't compare.
Yeah,
this one did that. She always did that. He always. We don't do that.
Right.
And God will help you through the most difficult circumstances in your life.
Praise God. And for Jerry and Joy, you've been married over 50 years. And no, you're not that old. You've just been married over 50 years. I'm just curious because when I think about you two, I think about the first thing that comes to my mind is that you are both people of God and with faith and a strong prayer life. And that just doesn't happen individually. So I'd just like to ask you as a couple, how have you prioritized God in your marriage through all of these years?
I'm thankful that I came from a family. My parents were pastors, but they were people of prayer and spent a lot of time in prayer. I probably haven't attained that stature as they did, but this has to be in the very fiber of your being, And you start the day with prayer. And I can recall that a lot of times I would get up and get going. First thing in the morning, I'd pray. But then I'd have my devotions at night when, as Jerry would feel that, you know, the first thing he would do, in fact, he still does, gets up and reads his Bible for a long while. He wakes up early. He's been, his metabolism wakes him up early. So whatever time it is of the day, you must establish a time frame that you give to the Lord and he gives back to you. Otherwise, yeah, you know, if you head off doing something and not spend some time asking the Lord to help you, it's just amazing how things can fall all apart. It just does not go well. And so as we long as we place God first, he helps us.
Amen.
Mike, I might mention here that I've seen both sides of marriage. I was raised in a dysfunctional family. In fact, yeah, I think a psychologist or a counselor would say that Joy took a risk. My dad had been married 3 times and then divorced my mom. And I saw abuse in the home. I don't want to describe anything. I only want to say that I approached marriage with a twofold purpose. One, I had seen the dark side. And God had done a work of grace in my life by his mercy. And I said, you know, by God's grace, I'm going to focus on marriage and the yeah, family and everything that it means in God's teaching. Now, has our marriage been perfect? Absolutely not. I mean, I sometimes think I didn't even know what it was to have a role model as a father. And I've made a lot of mistakes. But I can say this, we're together at 52 years.
Yeah.
And God has blessed our family. I'm a rich man. I don't have much in the bank, but I'm rich, I can
That's
tell
right.
you. Why? Because you That's can right. make that promise and make that choice and say, by God's help and by God's mercy, we can do it.
Praise God. Praise God. That'll preach, won't it?
And Mike,
it is preaching.
I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I mean, we didn't go to church regularly at all.
Wow.
And I was 16 when I came to know the Lord. So it was the work of the Holy Spirit that really led me. And then as I went to Bible school and I made that my priority, spend time with him, that I learned so much just through the Word and through being with the Lord.
Wow. Thank you guys both for sharing. Is there anything else that you'd just like to share? I don't have any more questions, and we're about to close in prayer, but I just thought I'd any final comments you'd like to share?
Well, I noticed tonight in the prayer list that you were requesting that we would pray that God would strengthen marriages in Central Assembly.
Yeah.
And before we close tonight, I just was so impressed by that a church would pray that God would strengthen marriages. Now, whether maybe some of you are single and maybe some of you are dating, but it has been said many times, and I want to reinforce it. It's a spiritual matter, along with that commitment and promise to say to God, I have made this, and this is my goal, and only by your grace, as we've been hearing from the Beatitudes, by casting our total dependence upon God, can we do what he wants us to do.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Aside from our relationship with Jesus, if you're married, there's no other relationship that ought to come before your spouse.
Absolutely.
It's God first, and then your spouse. And if you're single, I always say that both of those components belong to the Lord, and if the Lord leads you to get married, then that's that second kind of priority is to your spouse, but it's to God first.
May I just insert, I know your time is gone here, I don't want people to be late to pick up their kids here, but I've got a strong opinion about that one, and that is that it is God's first, and then family and ministry, if you have ministry, because all of us should be involved, it should be on the same level.
Mm.
It should be on the same level. There are times when family gives priority. There are times when the ministry, but you balance it. You balance it on that same level.
Okay.
And Mike, I'd like to say for all of these younger people out here that you're not old when your hair turns gray and you're not old when your teeth decay,
okay,
but you're on your way to that final sleep when your mind makes appointments that your body can't keep.
That is it. I believe that's a good place to end. How about that? That was just great. Sandy, would you mind closing us in a word of prayer tonight? Thank you so much.
Father, we're grateful tonight for this time together. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of talking about of marriage. Yes. And Lord, we know that there are many in this room that are looking forward to that one day.
Yes,
and
Jesus.
We pray, Lord, that you would just minister to each one around these tables. Lord, that you would touch in those areas where there's hurt, where there's isolation, Lord, where there's feelings of any kind, needs perhaps in marriages. We ask you, Lord, that you would just minister by your Spirit.
By your
thank
power,
you, Lord, for Mike
yes,
and for
God,
bringing this to our attention and for giving a place, a thank platform
you,
tonight, Lord,
you,
to
Jesus.
Talk because our society is running away from this very thing.
Thank
and
you,
Lord,
Jesus.
We help us to be a testimony. Help us to be a blessing, to lift up Christ, whether we're single or married, however we come into contact with anyone else.
Yes,
let
Father.
Us lift Jesus and be that example of who you are and what you would do in us and through us.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.